Hi, this is John Belt. Glad to be with you today. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about being a habitation of His presence. And I want us to read a verse out of Genesis in chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And what we see here is God created Adam out of the dust of the earth and formed him. And then God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing picture here, because what we see is we see God inspiring man from the very beginning. And this is a picture of how we're supposed to live too. We are a people of inspiration. And God has created us to live by this inspiration. We have to have air to breathe. And it's just like we're breathing, we're getting inspiration to live. But in the same way, His Holy Spirit breathes into us and gives us inspiration. And through that inspiration, it gives us revelation and motivation to live on in God's presence and to live for His kingdom purposes. And so God wants us to understand that He has created us that way. We are a people of inspiration. His creation is meant to be under His inspiration. You can either be under God's inspiration, or you can be under another inspiration, which is not God. And so we want to choose what we commune with. And it all starts by choosing the Holy Spirit. You know, you can commune with lots of things in this world, but God wants us to commune with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to commune with Him. And that's why Paul says, "Let the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all," because we're a people of inspiration and we do commune. We're going to find something to commune with. It may not be the Holy Spirit, but we'll find something to commune with. We're a people of worship. We're going to find something to worship. And when we worship, we're choosing that. Whatever we worship, we're choosing that as our place of inspiration. And so we want to worship God because we want Him to be our inspiration. Amen to that. And so I want to read another passage to you. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15:43. And it says, "And so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, a living soul," just like the verse we had just read out of Genesis. "And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." And so Jesus is a life-giving spirit. And you know, so when we connect with Jesus and we connect with the Holy Spirit, He's breathing life into us. He's breathing life, and it's a deeper connection because it's God dwelling inside of us. And so Jesus, like He promised, "I'm going to give you abundant life." And this is not speaking of stuff. This is speaking of His presence. This is speaking of His Spirit. And also leads us into blessing and prosperity and all that. But it all begins with a communion with God that's restored, more than restored, to where it was in the Garden of Eden. And so God wants to pour that reality into us and inspire us to live for Him. You know, we can't live for Him without inspiration. We have to have that inspiration to live for God. And that's how it works. You know, and that's the way God has designed it for us. And so next, I'd like to talk to you about the enemy's tactic. And so here's the enemy's tactic. He wants us to be self-conscious. He'd rather us be self-conscious instead of God-conscious. And that's what happened with Adam. He was God-conscious before the enemy came along, tempted Eve, and then he was tempted and then fell. But he was tempted into a self-consciousness, and in that place he could only see his own unworthiness. He could only see his own sin. He could only see his own depravity of his soul. He could only see his shortcomings. And see, Jesus came to change all that. He redeemed all that. He made it better. Now we can see Him in His glory. That's why it says, "Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith." It's because in that place of focusing on Him that our faith is restored. And our eyes are not on ourselves anymore. Our eyes are upon Him. Our eyes are on His work and what He has accomplished through the cross. And that's what God has for us. And so the Holy Spirit, He comes in and He works from the inside out. He works from the inside out. and causes us to be God conscious. And now we're a God conscious people once again, because Jesus has restored that to us. And so that's the beauty, and that's the beginning of living as a habitation of God, is that you realize, hey, I've been so self-conscious, and Jesus paid the price, so I don't have to be self-conscious anymore. I can be more conscious of His presence. I can be more aware of His presence than anything else. I can be more aware of Him, and I can be more aware of what He has done. It's the work that He has done. Hey, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to read this verse to you right here. It's out of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." And so we see here again that God is turning our focus from ourselves to Him, from our own sufficiency to His sufficiency. Because it's all about what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. It's not about our works. It's not about what we can do. It's about what He has already done. And we can reckon ourselves dead to sin in Christ. You know, because it's a finished work. And what He has done, nobody can add to it. And so God is bringing us again into this place of being conscious of His presence through the price that Jesus paid, that we may be inhabited by His Holy Spirit. That we're now habitations of His presence, and that we're habitations of the Holy Spirit, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He dwells in us. His presence dwells inside of us now. And so that's good news, and that's why it's called good news. So what I want to do is just pray for you right now, that this would not just be information, but that this would be revelation and something that awakens you to commune with God, to become more God conscious in your life. And so, Father, I just thank You for Your people. I thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I just ask that You would just overflow them with Your presence, overflow them with Your goodness. Lord, we just thank You, Father, that there's no one like You, and You are faithful. And we just thank You in Jesus' name for making Your people more and more God conscious, Lord, and less self-conscious. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.